was an interesting statistic I heard recently, right?
Yes, and you love your statistics.
I really do. I love me numbers. It was claimed recently that almost 34% of people watching TV around 9 o'clock are in fact watching the internet, and they are in fact, sorry, they are in fact watching Netflix on the internet. 34%.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Streaming going on. No, I know you are. And probably one of the reasons is, well, House of Cards, Breaking Bad, but possibly this guy as well, Kevin Spacey from House of Cards. Yeah. This is a great reason just to get Netflix.
I'm a white trash cracker from a white trash town that no one would even bother to piss on. I've made something of myself. I have the keys to the Capitol. People respect me, but you?
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
You might very well think that. I couldn't possibly comment.
Oh, it's great.
Great. I love it. I can't wait for
more. I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood. Fiona Flynn has joined us, TV editor in entertainment.ie. How are you?
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Okay.
Good.
We reckon you love your Netflix.
I do.
Our Netflix, so we thought we'd bring you in just to
have
a little
chat. Let's have a Netflix loving.
Netflix loving. How did it all start?
It actually all started, Netflix started back in the late 90s, and it was just a DVD distribution company. So, you'd get in touch with them, they'd email or mail out the DVD, and it was a huge success in America. It did really, really well. But then obviously the decline in DVD sales happened and they kind of had to catch up. So they were very fast in catching up. Yeah. I think it was around 2010 they set up the video on demand service.
Right.
And that just escalated. And then I think over the following couple of years then it just added more content and more content, kind of coming up to, I think a big turning point for them was when they got Breaking Bad, the final season.
Yeah.
And they came over to here, I think it was 2012, was it? Yeah, set up in Ireland. And like since then, I think it's got about 60 million subscribers now worldwide.
60 million?
Yeah. 200,000 are in Ireland.
Is it only here since 2012?
2012, we're only 3 years.
I know, I feel like it's been there forever.
I know, it's like RTE now. It's just right up there.
I'm very conscious that somebody listening will be going, I don't sign up to that Netflix shite or whatever. There are a lot of people who are Netflix virgins who are going, you have to get involved. It is the revolution. Television.
And it's just so much like better watching it than a normal TV. You don't have any ads to go through, you can just sift through. Like actually the biggest problem is finding something to watch on it, because there's so much to choose from. You've got like TV shows that you might have missed out on first time around, you've got movies, you've got documentaries, you've got stand up shows. It's endless, you could spend hours on it.
Also the quality of streaming is really, really good. I mean, you can even watch it on your 3G phone, whatever they have or whatever they're using. It is really top quality, while an awful lot of other online services will stop and start and break down.
Exactly. You know? Like an ad for Netflix.
No, I know, but it's not that expensive.
No, it's not. It's like $7.99 a month, which is, considering what we used to pay for DVD
like
rentals.
No, but just in case anybody was going, well, for you has been able to. No, it's actually anybody can get on.
It's worth it,
The big thing as well, and Amazon TV are catching up as well, and Amazon have an awful lot of money, is that they can actually now get the big names to not only star in some of the TV shows, but actually to make them. I mean, Frankie and Grace has been made by Jane Fonda.
Yeah, and it's also the Friends creator, who Marta Kaufman, I think.
Yeah.
It's basically the one who like founded Friends, that sitcom.
Wow.
You might have heard of it. And now I think it all began, really. Kevin Spacey led the way there, and I know we listened to him there as Frank Underwood. But that show was the first Netflix original TV show. So it was the first time they ever just had these like big names on a TV show that was just on a streaming service that you couldn't get on a terrestrial TV show.
And they were so lucky that it was so good, because it could have been terrible.
I know,
it could
have really been awful.
And then that would have stopped it for everybody.
That's what I mean. So it came along, and then Breaking Bad. What else is big? Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black is probably my favourite show on it, and I think absolutely everyone should get on it. Like it's like hugely strong female cast, but like I know plenty of men that love it too. It is.
I love it.
Like
absolutely love it.
I think people might be put off and thinking like, oh, you know, it's a girl show. It's really not at all. It's like high drama, but really, really good comedy as well.
Good comedy, gritty, and a really, really good storyline.
He just says he likes it to stay on brand with the orange colour of 2FM.
Oh,
that's literally
very smart. I'm also wearing orange right now. Yeah.
Well,
you actually look like an inmate, funnily enough.
This is the new.
Yeah, you do look like a lesbian.
Well, thanks, Al, coming from you. So, Better Call Saul, this is another big one as well.
Yeah, exactly. They got that. This isn't their own original show. This was AMC over in America, but they got the streaming rights for it over this side of the pond, which was huge, really. Same thing, as I said, happened with Breaking Bad, which means that basically people are signing up to Netflix to watch these shows. So that is the prequel to Breaking Bad, as I said. And it was set like 6 years before we kind of, you know, were the major guy in it, Saul Goodman, who is like Jimmy McGill back in the day. So it's very good, but it brings, as I said, like Breaking Bad, Bad was such a huge hit, and this show is bringing Vince Gilligan, and we're all kind of going back to Albuquerque again. So it is sort of, I don't know, I was a huge fan of Breaking Bad, and watching Better Call Saul for me is just like, it's kind of like a love letter back to it again. Mm, except
it's doing great numbers as well. On American television, it's doing great numbers, and I presume through Netflix as well. I mean, it's difficult to sort of tamerate. Well, you can't tamerate Netflix. We actually don't know. We can guess how many people are watching it in Ireland.
Oh, right. Why is that?
Because it's just not part of the tam ratings, because tam ratings has all to do with more terrestrial TV.
Okay. Mm.
So we don't have the definitive numbers of people, which is
interesting. They actually, in San Diego, I think it was a few weeks ago, they teamed up with Variety magazine, and they got like a kind of small pocket group of people, say about 3,000, and surveyed what they were watching over the course of like a month or two for March, basically. And they kind of got a lot of viewing figures from that. So they discovered that Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt was doing really well, that it actually did better than House of Cards season 3. Oh. They discovered that Daredevil was doing well, that Bloodline, even though it was like, you know, people talked about it a lot, that it actually had a slow start.
Okay.
But it's again like Netflix just refused to comment on this. They said, oh no, they're not our official stats. But it was just to give more of an insight into what was properly.
I love Daredevil. Have you tried it yet?
Yes.
It is very good.
I haven't done Daredevil.
Yeah, Colm. I mean, if you've ever seen those kind of X-Men films with Ian McKellen and all that, it's all a bit much. And then your man Christopher Nolan took The Dark Knight and made a very good gritty trilogy. And it's kind of like a nice marriage between, you know, a bit of fantastical stuff, but also a lot of realism.
It's quite cool, because I don't really like those comic book stuff at all. And then I put that on, and it's like a crime drama, essentially, that has all this sort of superhero element with it, but it's not like kind of teetering towards the ridiculous. And also, it's got a lot more leeway, so it's not sort of, it's violent, you know, like it's graphic. You can see blood in it. They don't hold back because it's Netflix, so they've got so much more kind of freedom to do whatever they want.
It's not Smallville.
Is this exactly, one of the reasons that an awful lot of the producers and writers like to go to Netflix? Because you literally are, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's a huge draw. I know even what Kevin Spacey was saying, like, say when they got House of Cards initially, with how it just basically works in TV world over in America is you have your pilot, and if the pilot doesn't do well, you're gone.
Yep.
Whereas with Netflix, they just say you've got 13 episodes. And so you don't have to have a pilot episode where you're introducing all the characters and you can't really get the story across. Whereas with House of Cards and that, they go, great, we can just make it as long as we want. We can make the opening episode anything we want it to be and tell the story the way they want it to, as opposed to sort of showcasing it all in the first episode.
It's changed how we watch TV, because now we watch in bulk.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't watch one. I watch three at a time.
It's changed TV as well, because an awful lot of TV shows that were dropped by the networks, they've actually taken on, like Arrested Development. They resurrected that as well. And also, there's a very clever thing they're doing lately. When you are watching a show and it comes to the end, a little thing clicks up, next episode in 5 seconds.
I know. Yeah.
You're gone.
Never ending. I know. I've lost nights to that. Like, it's ridiculous. It just keeps on coming on. You're like, right, I'll just watch 5 minutes of the next episode and then it's gone, and it keeps on rolling. Like,
the one that was landed last Friday, Grace and Frankie.
Love
when you see the cast, Sam Wilson, Martin Sheen, Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda.
Lily Tomlin being back on screen is amazing. I haven't seen her in anything in years.
Me neither,
It's a clever, you were saying,
it's Dolly Parton.
A gentle sort of...
I think it is a gentle comedy, isn't it?
It is. It's one that, like, I think my mum would enjoy, but not saying that I didn't enjoy it either. When I sat down to watch it last weekend, I kind of thought, oh, is this going to be really sitcom-y jokes that are outdated? Is it just going to be too try-hard? But it kind of has a bit of a heart to it.
I think it's good.
I watched it and I was like, oh, I'm actually surprisingly enjoying it. Like, I didn't really know what to think when I went into it, but it is very good. It's a nice story. There is a sort of kind of odd couple hijinks that you see happening. Yeah. But it's still really good. I think it'll go
what
far.
What it reminded me of, and I don't know if she had any involvement and I can't remember her name, but movies like,
great story.
Movies like It's Complicated with Meryl Streep and Something's Gotta Give with Jack Nicholson and Diane Keaton, that's all the same person. And it's a
woman, Diane.
Yeah, Diane, whatever. It is of that vibe, isn't it? That on my own watching it, I kind of thought, it's a giggle. But if I watched it with my ma, I have a great time, because I know it's something I can watch with her.
It is good. What's the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? This is quite quirky, isn't
it? This is Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, who are the people who brought us 30 Rock, which I absolutely loved. And Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt stars Ellie Kemper, who people would know as The Office.
She was the new receptionist in The Office.
For some reason, her name's gone out of my head, but she was, you know her from The Office. She's brilliant in it, and it is a really good comedy. And everyone keeps on talking about how amazing it is, but I swear to God, I am like a few more episodes left to the end and I can't seem to quite find it as hilarious as everyone thinks it is. But at the same time, I still have a few episodes left, so everyone else in the world, it's got this odd comedy premise where she was basically in a bunker thinking that the world had ended with three other girls.
I've heard of this.
And she kind of comes out of it and it's like, you know, oh, she's back in the world, New York City, and she's missed out on everything, all the revolutions of the internet. So she's starting off, she's basically like a teenager in New York City, but it's quirky and it's really funny. And it is good, and you can see Tina Fey written all over it, but there's kind of times where I wish that it was Tina Fey delivering the joke But even though, like, she's a brilliant actress as well, Ellie Kemper.
I gotta have a look at that.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
The problem is there's too much.
There's too much.
So do you have a method, do you have a way of how to get through all that? Because if you open it up, you could spend a half an hour trying to find it.
Well, I've cut off all my friendships. My family don't see me anymore.
That's a good one, You are that girl living in the bunker now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with my Netflix, So I think that's the only way to do it. It's impossible. Even now, I find myself dabbling in and out of loads of them just to sort of, you know, have a fair idea of what they're about, to know if I want to go back and watch them. But
speaking of family and friends, when you have an account, you can add other accounts. How many is it?
You can add up to four, which is very good.
And they can, and you can add devices, so they can log on a different device in the same house.
Like in my account, I think I have my brother, my friend, like there's, my other friend is on it as well at this point. So
it's very clever.
It is good,
kind of funny. I was always using my mate Jerry's, and you know the way sometimes when you use it enough, it starts suggesting things for him.
Oh, yeah.
So he kept getting LGBT movies suggested to him. He was going, why are you suggesting this?
I love it. Okay, if you it is as you said, the revolution is going to be televised and it's going to be on Netflix.
Exactly.
So if you want to see it, Amazon is catching up a little bit in the States, I know, but it's still so much Netflix over
here. Yeah, it really is the main player.
Can't recommend it enough. Also, I have to recommend RT1 and RT2. Just look where we are.
Check those guys out.
One recommendation of a show.
I think Orange is the New Black. It's the season 3 starts in June 4th, and you should really get on. There's two more seasons that you can watch on Netflix at the moment. So that's definitely by far my favourite.
Absolutely. Fiona Flynn, TV editor and entertainment.ie, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.